Morning, early birds. You've got the Worm A podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. The Keystone XL crude oil pipeline, updates on rising coronavirus cases across the state, and how a Missoula County search and rescue team is training dogs to find human remains. It's Wednesday, July 8th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A Montana District Court judge yesterday granted a preliminary injunction against a state law limiting the number of ballots a person can deliver on others' behalf. Kevin Trevlin reports.
The ACLU of Montana calls the ruling a win for the voting rights of Native Americans living on rural reservations. Judge Jessica Fair of the Yellowstone County District Court sided with Native American tribes, Western Native Voice, and Montana Native Vote in her order, writing the plaintiffs are likely to prevail in seeking a permanent injunction on the Ballot Interference Prevention Act, or BIPA. The law caps the number of ballots a person or group can drop off for someone else at 6. It also requires people to sign a form letting election officials know they're dropping off another person's ballot. There had already been a temporary restraining order in place against BIPA. The hearing on a permanent injunction is scheduled for September. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Yellowstone National Park moved its fire danger from low to moderate yesterday. There are currently no active fires or fire restrictions in the park. Campfires are always only permitted within fire rings at campgrounds and some backcountry campsites. The National Interagency Fire Center is predicting an above normal fire potential in western Montana this summer. Earlier this week, the Missoula County Fire Protection Association also raised its fire danger to moderate. Watercraft inspectors in Montana have intercepted a record number of boats carrying invasive mussels this season. Rachel Kramer reports.
Since mid-March, inspectors have stopped 20 mussel-infested boats at check stations in Anaconda, Dillon, Flowing Wells, Hardin, Nashua, and most recently, Weibo. Tom Wolf, the Aquatic Invasive Species Bureau Chief with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, told YPR just 16 mussel-carrying boats were found during the entire 2019 season. FWP officials said part of the increase is due to above-average early-season boat traffic. More than twice as many boats were inspected in March this year compared to last. FWP said the spike was due to snowbirds returning home in response to news of the novel coronavirus. Officials say out-of-state boat traffic remains higher than normal, and check stations are seeing a record number of watercraft. Since Sunday, nearly 47,000 vessels have been inspected. The agency has tested several hundred lake samples for quagga and zebra mussel larvae. So far, none of the samples have come back positive, including those from the Tiber Reservoir. People bringing boats into Montana are required to get inspected before launching and must stop at all open watercraft inspection stations they encounter. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday upheld a stay on parts of construction for the 1,200-mile Keystone XL crude oil pipeline, which broke ground in northern Montana earlier this year. Kayla DeRoche reports.
The Supreme Court issued a paragraph-long ruling Monday that gives many utility projects like pipelines across the United States permission to continue construction while an appeal over a nationwide water permit program is ongoing. The ruling's most pointed exception is the Keystone XL pipeline. It blocks construction for the parts of the project that cross waterways while it's caught up in the courts. Doug Hayes with the Sierra Club is one of the attorneys representing environmental advocacy groups that sued the Trump administration last year. Hayes says his clients argue the water permit, called Nationwide Permit 12, is a streamlined process that allows companies to build across U.S. water bodies without factoring in environmental impacts or public input.
If the Keystone XL wants to seek an individual permit process, which is the normal permitting process under the Clean Water Act, they're free to do so, but we see this as a victory for Keystone XL in terms of protecting streams, rivers, wetlands, and protected species along the pipeline route from construction.
In a statement, Keystone XL pipeline developer, Canada-based TC Energy, said that, quote, while today's ruling from the Supreme Court is positive for the oil and gas industry overall, it continues to delay large portions of construction on our Keystone XL project and the thousands of high-paying union jobs that come with it. Unquote. The U.S. Supreme Court ruling did not include a reason for its decision or exception of the Keystone XL pipeline. Earlier this spring, Montana federal judge Brian Morris vacated Nationwide Permit 12 for failing to follow the Endangered Species Act. The Trump administration filed to appeal the court's decision, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will consider the case in the fall. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana State Auditor Matt Rosendale says he's tested negative for the novel coronavirus a week after being potentially exposed at a GOP fundraising event in Gallatin County. Rosendale, who's running for U.S. House, was one of a handful of Republicans running for statewide office to attend the fundraiser. Greg Gianforte's gubernatorial running mate, Kristen Juris, his wife, Susan Gianforte, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Elsie Arnson, and Republican candidate for State Auditor, Troy Downing, were also in attendance, according to reporting by the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. All said they had been tested and were undergoing 2 weeks of quarantine following the event, also attended by Kimberly Guilfoyle, Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend. The New York Times reported Guilfoyle tested positive for COVID-19 last Friday. Montana has seen a striking rise in lab-confirmed COVID-19 cases as the state progresses through the second phase of its reopening plan. Officials from Lake County and the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes announced yesterday there is evidence that COVID-19 is community spread in the Mission Valley. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
The Lake County CSKT Unified Command Center says there are 22 active cases in Lake County and on the Flathead Indian Reservation. Several cases identified in recent days have no known sources for contracting the virus, suggesting community spread. That concerns public health officials who say the area has a limited number of health professionals to respond to a significant increase in cases. The reservation remains under a shelter-in-place order, though tribal leaders voted last month to lift that order, July 13th. The tribes have not said whether recent cases will impact that decision. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Two residents of a corrections facility in Billings have tested positive for COVID-19. Kevin Trevlin reports.
The cases were discovered Saturday and Monday at Alpha House Pre-Release Center, where offenders typically spend 6 months before re-entering society. David Armstrong is CEO of Alternatives Incorporated, which operates Alpha House for the State Department of Corrections.
Both of these came out of residents who had symptomology and were sent for testing, and the test results came back positive.
Armstrong says both individuals with COVID-19 are isolated. All other Alpha House residents have been in quarantine with their typical roommates since Saturday evening. Armstrong says the quarantine is expected to last 2 weeks in accordance with expert guidance. Armstrong says 170 residents occupy the main Alpha House building impacted by the virus. Tuesday, health officials reported more than 50 new COVID-19 cases in Yellowstone County, where Alpha House is located. Kevin Trevelin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana health officials announced 80 new cases of the COVID-19 illness yesterday, including over 50 cases in Yellowstone County, the majority of which are connected to an assisted living facility in Billings. The new cases break the state's record for single-day total cases reported. Yellowstone County reported its highest single-day tally of lab-confirmed COVID-19 cases Tuesday with a total of 55. The majority of the cases announced are connected to the 15 employees and 43 of the 55 residents at Canyon Creek Memory Care Community who tested positive for COVID-19 in the past few days. Two residents with the virus have been hospitalized. Barbara Schneeman with Riverstone Health, the Yellowstone City County Health Department.
We suspect that COVID-19 came into the facility through either a staff person or a visitor who did not know that they were infected with COVID-19.
According to a spokesperson for Canyon Creek, the facility conducted mass testing of staff and residents on July 3rd after a staff member tested positive for COVID-19. Canyon Creek has isolated residents who tested positive as well as those who may have been exposed to the virus. They are working with Riverstone Health to conduct further testing, tracing contacts of confirmed patients, and ensure the care facility has enough personal protective equipment, such as masks, gowns, and gloves. Yellowstone County is reporting stressed operations and its ability to conduct contact tracing for all positive COVID-19 cases. Governor Steve Bullock announced in late June visits to long-term care facilities would be allowed under guidance from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Visits to assisted living facilities had been halted previously due to the coronavirus pandemic. In Yellowstone County, Health Officer John Felton issued a health order on July 3rd prohibiting most visits to senior care facilities after seven senior care facilities in the county reported infections in residents or staff. Older people are more likely to experience severe symptoms of COVID-19 and have a higher mortality rate. According to the CDC, 8 out of 10 deaths related to COVID-19 in the U.S. have been people 65 or older. Schneeman says we're still in the first wave of the coronavirus pandemic.
And with this particular situation, this is a heartbreaking example of what can happen when we don't follow the three W's of washing our hands, watching our distance, making sure that we're maintaining at least 6 foot distance from others, and wearing a mask.
Canyon Creek Management says they have notified all residents and their families of the outbreak. For YPR News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. Yesterday afternoon, Governor Steve Bullock announced he will be issuing an emergency rule today that will require both long-term care and assisted living facilities in Montana to participate in surveillance testing as a continuation or condition of visitation.
So the purpose of this rule is to help prevent what's happened at Canyon Creek moving forward.
Bullock said Canyon Creek was one of 40 assisted living facilities that did not participate in Sentinel surveillance testing, which Bullock said the state had encouraged and offered for free. He said 177 out of 217 assisted living facilities and 67 out of 72 long-term care facilities are using Sentinel testing. Bullock says moving forward, facilities must test staff and residents in order to offer visitation. Yellowstone County has barred most visits to senior care facilities since July 3rd after seven in the county reported infections in residents or staff. The 35th annual Big Sky State Games are still on, but they'll look very different this year. Registration is down 40%, and some sporting events are being canceled because of coronavirus restrictions. Kay Erickson fills out our scorecard.
Now, from the opening ceremonies next Friday, July 17th at Dallas Stadium in Billings, State Games will have a very different feel.
It is going to be modified.
That's Big Sky State Games Executive Director Leanna Sousa.
We're going to just have the bare bones of lighting the torch in the Montana Mile, and there will be social distancing there in this grandstand.
The opening ceremonies will be live streamed on SWX and Color 8 TV. Most of the outdoor events will still go on, although the format may change a bit. Some indoor events have been moved outside, like arm wrestling, pickleball, and cornhole. Volleyball is now grass 4v4 volleyball, and basketball has been moved to August as a 3-on-3 tournament. Others have been canceled, like judo, biathlon, and swimming. Indoor athletes must now wear a face covering when competing, and for some sports and the physicality of competing, a mask is not possible. Commissioners of the remaining indoor events are still evaluating whether to cancel their sport. Bowling and billiards will go on with athletes wearing masks. Sousa says athletes and spectators of state games outdoor events are asked to follow the health department's guidelines.
Do not compete or spectate if you're sick. Stay at home, out of public places. We want all our athletes to wash their hands, use hand sanitizer before and after competing, maintain the 6 feet physical distance while spectating.
Sousa adds that some events, by their nature, do not allow physical distancing, and athletes should understand the inherent risks of entering the event. She urges athletes to check their website, BigSkyStateGames.org, for any changes or updates on the events. I'm Kay Erickson, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The Missoula County Search and Rescue Team helps people who are usually in big trouble. It's also in charge of recovering the remains of those for whom it's too late.
It's damn serious business.
That's Dave Howe, a founding member of Search and Rescue's K-9 team. For the past 2 years, Howe's built a network of people willing to donate pieces of their own bodies to help train his dogs to find human remains. As Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports, Howe's team is now asking for larger body part donations to hone those canine skills. This story contains graphic descriptions of human remains.
You ready to work?
Let's get him!
Abby is a beautiful 8-year-old German Shepherd on a mystery mission. She's searching for something hidden on a 1-acre pasture here in Florence, Montana.
What she's trying to do is catch a whiff of the odor in the air.
That's Missoula County Search and Rescue Assistant Chief Dave Howe.
And I'm walking in a grid, watching her the entire time. She doesn't have to cover every inch of the ground, but her nose can pick up things far away. Hey, hey!
That hey, hey is a quick redirect command, but Abby, who Howe describes as the rock star of his K-9 team, barely needs it. It takes her roughly 2 minutes to find what she was looking for.
She has got scent of the human remains.
Specifically, a kneecap. It's tucked in a little mason jar buried in the pasture's south end. Abby sits next to it and looks to Dave for feedback on her performance.
Good girl! You did it! Good girl!
Dave and his wife Christine own the dog training company Sharp Canines. The Howes teach everything from basic obedience to professional detection work. Drugs, aquatic invasives, explosives, even bed bugs. Human remains detection is a must-have skill set for search and rescue dogs. Missoula's search and rescue dog team is deployed several times a year. They help find lost hunters or mushroom pickers. In worst-case scenarios, they can find remains of people who've perished in the backcountry. If handlers lead their dogs to the general vicinity of where someone died, Howe says a well-trained dog has an over 90% chance of finding those remains.
You know, the dog has about 300 million olfactory receptors in its nose, and we have about 5 million.
To put that in perspective,
we smell bread. A dog smells bread. It smells salt. It smells yeast. It smells everything that was used to cook the bread.
Howe says that magnificent nose is the perfect tool to help find human remains. But a tracking dog must know what decomposing human flesh smells like before it can search for it. To that end, the Howes have amassed a stash of small body parts.
Yeah, we have a freezer full.
Howe leads me to a white freezer, the kind found in almost any Montana garage, but this one isn't filled with elk meat or fish.
There's bone, tissue. In fact, a good friend of ours got his knee replaced yesterday, and here it is. These are bitterrooter teeth. Are special.
I start to ask a question about the freezer's contents, but one label stops me in my tracks.
All right, how do you... What does that one say right there?
Well, that's a unique one.
He's not kidding, folks. Buckle up.
That is placenta, and it got maggots in it.
The Howe's collection of human remains comes from a growing network of people willing to donate bits and pieces of their own bodies they're going to lose anyway. That network started 2 years ago with a chance meeting between two women during a routine physical therapy appointment.
My name's Michelle Weaver Knowles. I donated my hip bone to Sharp Canines, which they use for the Missoula Search and Rescue Team.
Christine Howe, a dog trainer herself, asked Knowles if she would donate her hip joint to the Sharp Canines training program.
I'm like, absolutely. I thought, what a great opportunity to help other people in my community and to help the search and rescue people. I mean, my hip bone was going into the trash, so why not help them out?
But the Sharp Canine team now wants larger specimens, like a foot or a whole leg. Again, trainer Dave Howe.
Because some dogs, if they're constantly smelling a small portion of a body, and then they come across an entire body that's badly decomposed, it can really throw the dog off.
Michelle Weaver Knowles, herself a breast cancer survivor and who donated part of her own hip, believes it's possible that good can come from personal tragedy.
It's devastating to have to go through something like that, but these things that happen to us that are super traumatic and that we have to deal with in our lives, we can always help the next person.
Sharp K9's Dave Howe, a retired Marine Corps infantry officer, says his second career as both a dog trainer and assistant chief of Missoula County Search and Rescue is immensely rewarding work.
And if you can help them solve problems or in a search and rescue capacity, be able to find somebody who's lost or help find somebody who's deceased and have that closure for the family, it's priceless. It really is.
Anyone wishing to donate a body part to help improve search dog training should contact Sharp Canines, which is the custodian of Missoula County Search and Rescue's Human Remains Program. That information is found on our website at mtpr.org. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.